Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Now, we'd like to open the caller lines, and we'll be taking calls in a minute. But first, I want to announce that my guest, Ian Jacklin, who's a kickboxing champion from Canada, who's found multiple ways of curing cancer. He hasn't arrived just as yet, so we'll keep you posted about that. Now, speaking of keeping you posted, Mexico agrees to join regional trade talks. You know how I've been talking for a while about the TPPA and how it's real similar to NAFTA and all of that kind of stuff, and how it's going to destroy America and blah, blah, blah. Well, Mexico wants to be destroyed too, as it turns out. Oh, you're retarded. Oh.
Hey, man, we want to make sure that there's some kind of free trade going down. We've got to find a place to sell our burritos and Mexican drug cartel stashes. Come on, let us into the trade deal.
That was the president speaking directly from Mexico. Now, Mexico, the world's 13th largest economy, unlucky for some, has accepted an invitation. Now, see, he didn't even beg on his knees like a good Mexican slave should. Has accepted an invitation to join regional trade negotiations, including New Zealand and Australia, in a deal that could free up market access, hindered by the 1994 North American Free Trade Agreement, otherwise known as NAFTA, otherwise known as where the frack did all our jobs in America go, otherwise known as why are there so many slums clustered around massive freaking American-owned companies in Mexico with all the workers that they... I mean, hello? Is anybody home?
Did you see that? Did you hear that? Do you have any comprehension of history or actually knowing what the fuck is going on?
No, apparently not. Mexican President Felipe Calderon and United States President Barack Obama told reporters at the Group of 20 Leaders Summit that Mexico would join the nine countries holding Trans-Pacific Partnership talks after signaling its desire to join last November. Australia, Brunei, Chile, Malaysia, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, the US, and Vietnam hope to create a free trade bloc spanning the Asia-Pacific region that extends into aligning regulatory settings and removing tariffs and quotas. In other words, your economy is now a slave to all of the economies, okay? Which means you have no more independence, which means you are now interdependent, which means you've been led into dependence, okay? It's pretty straightforward. The addition of Mexico means New Zealand may be able to eliminate trade barriers originating from NAFTA. So let me get this straight. A free trade agreement, NAFTA, actually provided us with barriers in the first place, and now we think that having a free trade agreement with them and everything like that is going to remove those barriers. Right. Are you people freaking retarded? What? Oh, my God. New Zealand exports to Mexico have been worth $116.2 million this year and totaled $414 million last year. Remember last year there was an enormous marijuana festival in Mexico, and New Zealand supplied the bulk of it. The current TPP members particularly welcomed Mexico's commitment to achieving the shared goal. It's a shared goal. Oh, we all share the goal of being enslaved and having absolutely no industry and being completely and utterly destroyed by trade like it's a freaking virus being injected into your economy. We love it. And we all came to the same conclusion together. Let's all hold hands as we fall off a motherfucking cliff. This high ambition, next generation agreement as rapidly as possible. Okay, you know why they want to do it as rapidly as possible? Because the deal's a fracking secret. That's why. Okay? You as a private citizen, me as a private citizen, you know, we want to know what the frack our entire country's being signed up to. Are we allowed to find out before it's too late? Hell no, we're not, because we're just slave scum, and we're not allowed to know anything of absolutely vital importance that might, just might, lead to our death, unemployment, and subsequent extermination of our populations, because they can't defend themselves because they can't afford guns. All right. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit ticked off. Because, well, basically, I hate the media so much. Because, you know, out of this entire article that I've been reading off the New Zealand Herald and everything like that, you know what one bad thing that they've said about NAFTA and GATT and actual history and proper information and everything like that? Anything that's bad about it that they mentioned in this article? We'll finish it and find out, eh? Okay. Now, they want it consistent with the statements made by TPP leaders and trade ministers on November 12, 2011 in Honolulu, which New Zealand Free Trade Minister Tim Grosser said. You know, Tim Grosser's actually my local MP. You know, he's the dude just, he's got an office just down the road. Maybe I should waltz in and just say, bro, what the hell's going on here? The TPP negotiations, which grew from New Zealand's P4 deal with Chile, Brunei, and Singapore, have been widely opposed by anti-globalization activists and academics over intellectual property demands made by the US and provisions that would let companies sue governments if policy decisions erode their profits. And guess the placement of this particular section, which actually is negative. It actually is reporting a tiny smidgen of the truth. It's after the giant quarter-page advertisement that tells people to invest in the New Zealand dairy farming thing. And it says, oh, article continues below. And you have to scroll down actually past it to get the rest of the article that actually tells you the truth. And so they give pride of place to the, oh, isn't it great? We're all coming together and there's heaps of free trade and all the crap. I hate these motherfuckers, man. Every single... I want to stab every single media person who's ever thought that what they were telling was the truth. It hurts me in my brain places, ladies and gentlemen. Right between the ears, right here. It hurts me. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Continuing on. Obama said Mexico and the US recognized growth was taking place in the Asia-Pacific region and they needed to be part of that network of nations. Oh, you know what? We haven't managed to get our North American Union because it got exposed by people in Texas and activists all over the place who didn't want to surrender all their sovereignty. Oh, let's do a free trade deal with a whole bunch of other countries and make an even bigger union, and that way all the activists will be split and divided and not capable of fighting back over the secret deals that we're signing. Oh, frackers. scumbag. And this is another thing that Obama said, right? He says he wants to be able to create a high-standard trade agreement that further increases job opportunities, commercial opportunities, investment opportunities, I think will benefit citizens in both our countries, he said. This from Obama? The guy who says, I'm going to get our troops out of Iraq. It's the first thing I'll do. No! I'm going to create jobs. It's the first thing I'll do. No! I'm going to do... In fact, if you record anything he says...
No!
And now people are going to buy this as well. Oh, the scumbaggery. In a submission on opening up TPP negotiations to Mexico, Japan and Canada, Business New Zealand said letting Mexico join the TPP negotiations, quote, offers considerable opportunity for New Zealand exporters by restoring access to a market that cut out a number of local companies after the introduction of NAFTA. So instead of cutting out just a few local companies after somebody else does a trade deal, we're going to cut out all our local companies when we do a trade deal. That's how it happens. Okay? Have you ever seen those things like made in the USA, made in New Zealand, made in Australia? They're all incidentally inside of a pyramid, don't you know? But dig this. Under these free trade agreements, that kind of stuff, being proud of stuff being manufactured in your country and promoting your own people to buy your stuff that's made in your country will be illegal. Okay? You'll be able to be sued in the freaking Bank of International Settlements and all of these WTO scumbaggery boards and what have you. End of your sovereignty. End of your local product. It's not rocket science. I mean, look. If somebody's trying to sell you a house and you ask him, how many rooms does it have? He says, I can't tell you. It's secret. Okay. What suburb is it? He says, I can't tell you. It's secret. Is there off-street parking? I can't tell you. It's secret. Does it have a roof? I can't tell you. It's secret. Would you buy that house? Or would you go, you know what? I don't have enough information to make a decision based on this. And this guy's probably trying to scam me. And that's why he's giving me too little information. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Pretty straightforward. And putting its case to New Zealand, Mexican trade official Rosaura Castaneda Ramirez said the Central American nation's growth prospects made it an attractive addition to the negotiations. TPP is a renewed opportunity to institutionalize, just remember how good being institutionalized is, the important bilateral economic relationship between Mexico and New Zealand. Now, didn't we already have a relationship? Didn't we already make $414 million off those people last year alone? Where is the necessity for any of that? It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. It's all a bunch of lies by New World Order propagandistic scumbaggery shills who are attempting to steal everything from you. Okay? I can't make it any more clear-cut than that. Speaking of stealing everything from you, next article. Asset sales bill down to the wire. Right, now you'd figure it wouldn't be down to the wire, but considering like 70-plus percent of New Zealanders are like, you're trying to sell our assets? No freaking way! No freaking way! And yet, our misrepresentatives are simply not representing that view, are they? You'd figure if 70% of the population wants something, then probably about 70% of the populations, or politicians, thereabouts, would have the same opinion and be expanding that kind of stuff. No. This is why they're misrepresentatives, not actual representatives. Okay? Opposition parties warned power prices would rise uncontrollably under the national government's partial privatisation of power companies as the law approached its final stages in Parliament last night. Okay, dig this. It's been ramped up, rammed through, and rushed because people are starting to mobilise. Okay, this bill right here will be passed before the protest happens. Okay? And they're doing that deliberately, because once you pass something through Parliament,
You're never going to get it revealed.
So on the 14th of July, on Saturday at 11 a.m., I will not be hosting this show, unfortunately. I will be at the Aotearoa Is Not For Sale protest march, and I'm going to have big megaphones, 100-watt megaphones, yes. And I'm going to tell people exactly what the hell is going on. Because you know why? You know why I go to protests and why people give me the huge speakers and stuff like that and let me rant for like 2-3 hours or something like that while we're walking up the blimmin' road? It's because I know what the hell I'm talking about. And I tell people what is actually going on. Nobody else does on those protests. Nobody! I'm all alone out there. In terms of being the person who has no shame and the gall to actually do it, it's just me. That's it. And that's the role that I feel I need to play, because for goodness sake, people don't know the truth about what's going on, especially at protests where you'd figure most of the information would actually be readily available through leaflets, flyers, people speaking to you, etc., and what have you. It's not there. It's not there. Not this kind of information. That's why this radio show is so desperately needed for this country. So many dumb people, and they've been dumbed down by the government and all this sort of stuff, so that they won't actually get ticked off and try to attack this type of stuff. Okay, there's a whole like rigmarole here, and it's a very, very long article, so I won't be able to go into it in its entirety in this segment. So I'm just going to read the first few paragraphs. The mixed ownership model bill, which allows for the sale of 49% of Mighty River Power, Genesis Energy, Meridian Energy, and coal company Solid Energy, was debated at the committee stage yesterday. Okay, now, dig this. Mighty River Power, government-owned company, right? Why is it separate from Genesis Energy, another government-owned company, and Meridian Energy, another government-owned company, and Solid Energy, another government company? Why aren't they just one company? Because back in the day, when the World Bank bribed our politicians and got us into massive freaking debt so that we had to sell all our assets and everything like that, they also said that the assets that we're not going to sell, we have to put into basically private company modeling type things, so that they are ripe for privatization when they come in and grab them later. And now they're coming to get the rest of what they started back in the day. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com, New Zealand's, well, only proper full-time truther radio show. So if you're a New Zealander or if you support New Zealand in any way, shape, or form, please, by all means, support me and use me as well. If you have a guest that you want interviewed or anything like that, I will send them an email occasionally. They're frickin' douchebags who just won't come on because I've interviewed somebody who they don't like out of the thousands of people that I've interviewed. Well, no, not thousands of people, hundreds and hundreds of people that I've interviewed. I'll interview like one person they won't like or something like that, and they assume that I agree with everything that they do, and then when I ask them to come on the show and explain their point of view and that kind of thing, and I'm perfectly willing to listen and all that kind of stuff, they go, no, I'm too good for you, I'm too good for you. Those kind of people, for goodness sake. You know, it's like truth movement, truth or infighting. It's hilarious because, my goodness, what? It doesn't matter what your beef is with any other truther. Ask him this question. Are you likely to exterminate me? Why, no. No. Another truth is not likely to exterminate me.
Then you're not a freaking enemy.
I mean, come on. Just shush. If you're really upset with another truther or anything like that, don't call them a Zionist shill. Don't accuse them of being a New World Order agent. You just discredit yourself. It's terrible, man. I see it happening all the time. In fact, happening to me this morning. I'm not going to say who, because I don't play those games. All right, so just chill, baby. Chill, everybody. You know? Some guy got angry at me because I ended a sentence with lol. Right. And he said that this is not funny. This is not my... Dude. If you've lost your sense of humor, you've already clearly gone nuts. So I'm not going to continue talking to you. Bye-bye. I mean, seriously, man. Stop hanging out with people who are dicks. All right? It's just that simple. If you're a douchebag, I'm not going to hang out with you. Sorry. Not my fault that you're a douchebag. And people have to start a fight with me first before I'll fight back. Or just, in fact, I don't fight back in general. I just ignore them. Because, hey, look at it this way. Who wants a life full of hate? Anybody? No? Oh, yeah, that's right. Nobody likes being hated. Nobody likes hating on other people, really. And yet, a lot of people really do hate on other people. All the time, as it turns out. Because they got nothing better to do. Nothing good going on in their lives. Maybe. I don't know. Okay, now, getting back onto this asset sales article, and probably see if I can nut it out. Once the committee stage is completed, the law will receive its third and final reading before passing, possibly by the end of the week. So it's a foregone conclusion, okay? It's going to pass. That's the position of the media here, and they're probably correct, because unlike what Penny Bright and I have been saying, is that you need to just knock out John Banks, who is the only support that the government really has for this bill. Okay, knock him out, then they don't have their majority, then they're fracked, okay? He's a criminal, sociopathic, pedophile, drug-dealing scumbag. He doesn't deserve to be in Parliament representing anybody, okay? Get the frack out of there. And as a bonus, just as a bonus of getting somebody corrupt out of your government, you'll also keep your assets. Isn't that nice? I think it's a good deal. And the police will not do it. They won't. Okay, had a message from Lisa Prager, Penny Bright's good friend and mine, talking to the New Zealand police about this. And it turns out that they're supposed to either A, investigate and arrest the guy, okay, based on the evidence that's already been presented before them. It's a clear breach criminal code of electoral finance and Hewlett wealth management. This guy is responsible for people losing millions upon millions of dollars in investments. He is responsible for pilfering basically tens and tens of thousands of dollars worth of donation money anonymously, which you're not allowed to do either, okay? He is a criminal. His whole family are criminals. His big brother Graham is a massive gang member in the North Island somewhere. Come on. Don't get criminals in government. It's just that simple, man. I think so. I could be wrong. We're getting to the end of what is to most New Zealanders an obnoxious piece of legislation that overwhelmingly in this country people oppose, Labour leader David Shearer said as the debate began. Considering he's from the UN, which is supported by the World Bank, which tries to sell our assets, he's full of crap too. The legislation would result in a, quote, wholesale shift of property and assets in the New Zealand public's ownership into the hands of a small elite of people who can afford to buy shares, otherwise known as World Bank-affiliated companies, because this is what they're doing, and this is what they always do. When we sold off Telecom to Bell Atlantic, who was the big, big partner to Bell Atlantic at the time and heavily affiliated with them? The World Fracking Bank, that's right. And what did Bell Atlantic do with the billions of dollars worth of assets that they got for a steal? That's right. They let them rust, corrode, and fall into disrepair so that they could maximize their profits. Then they sold it for a steal to some other poor bunch of suckers and took the frack off. This is what they do. They are leeches on the economy. Before yesterday's debate, Labour, the Greens and New Zealand First lodged a flurry of proposed amendments which will inevitably be voted down but are intended to slow the bill's progress. You, in Parliament there, are a bunch of useless cowards. I don't care how hard you had to campaign to get in there, blah, 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 blah. Mate, in the Greek Parliament, you see somebody hitting each other. If I was in Parliament, I would be hitting John Key over this, okay? I would cause such a stink that it would be impossible to ignore. Even these people are trying to keep it civil. don't keep it civil when people are engaging in criminal activity, because they're not keeping it civil. Get them arrested, you know? Beat them over the head with clubs. Billy clubs, preferably. Every hour and every day, we can prevent it being passed as an hour and a day that the Kiwi taxpayer keeps their assets, which this government is determined to sell, said Labor's state-owned enterprises spokesman, Clayton Cosgrove. Now, see, they're talking about, oh, hours and days of us not being shafted over as a good thing. I'd rather be not shafted for years and years and years. Thank you very much, Mr. Cosgrove, you freaking coward. Prime Minister John... I'm really angry today, have you noticed? Prime Minister John Key said that the public, who polls have shown largely oppose the plan, would come around. Yeah, they'll come around, all right. As soon as they've gotten an extra job and have absolutely no time... then sure they'll come around, because they won't have any time to or inclination to oppose you, because they'll be too busy trying to keep themselves warm. Over time, as they get to see the merits of the overall program and recognise what the government's trying to do, which is basically to build more assets for New Zealanders but not put more debt on the balance sheet. And as they have an opportunity to invest, I think they will warm to that. I think it will take some time, but I think they will get there. Oh, my. The thing about lying sociopathic politicians like John Key is that they will do one paragraph that will take you days for the rage to subside. This is going to take me a while, okay? the merits of the overall program and recognize what the government's trying to... The merits of the overall program is a new world order, okay? What the government's trying to do is destroy our sovereignty, destroy the people's assets, you know, toss us out into the street if they would. If we'd accept it, they would do it, okay? In fact, they are doing it, including us. All right. And he wants to put no more debt on the balance sheet, right?
He's getting $400 million a week for debt on the balance sheet, and he's telling us he doesn't want to do that. God, fucking him. Oh, my God.
You're going to be kidding me. You're going to be kidding me. How can people not see through this? I'm getting red in the face here. Seriously. Anybody watching this on YouTube later on, you'll love it.
He says, and New Zealanders will have the opportunity to invest.
With what money? You've already killed the economy. Everybody's unemployed. I mean, come on. What the hell is he talking about?
My God, have an opportunity to invest, and they'll warm to the idea. They'll warm to the idea as they huddle and freeze to death. Did you know that people in New Zealand homes literally freeze to death in the winter? Okay? Our houses are that poorly constructed, and power is that expensive already in this country, that people literally freeze to death in their homes because they can't pay to keep themselves warm. And he's telling us, oh, we'll warm to the idea of massive increases in power prices. Oh, my God. Oh, and it might take some time, but I think they will get there. I mean, come on. Come on. But Mr. Shearer said New Zealanders he had spoken to in recent months said the biggest concern was the price of electricity would rise. Quote, we know that the three major power companies are actually well and efficiently run. So the only way you can get an efficient company to generate more profit is by putting up the price. Greens co-leader Russell Norman said the electricity market remained deeply uncompetitive. So, by the government transferring these assets away from being state-owned enterprises and the ability of the government to put some pressure on them, what we are guaranteeing is that these companies can freely pursue their right to charge monopoly rates and monopoly prices. Oh, right. Well, get this. I love the whole idea that the government actually creates this illusion of competition, okay? You create, what, four energy companies? Government owns them all, okay? It's like the Rockefellers starting up Chevron and Caltex and Mobil. You think you're going to a different company or anything like that. They're owned by the same oil cartel. just like the government is a cartel and owns all these power companies, and they already have a monopoly, okay? It's a cartel. That's how it is already. What they're talking about is instead of the cartel being owned by the government and shafting the people just a little bit, they're now going to be owned by other governments, other private investors, and they're going to shaft us big time, okay? It goes from bad to worse. Everything we've got right now is bad, and the government's only goal is to make everything worse. Oh. The opposition has cited figures prepared by an independent energy analyst. What's the anal analysis? Molly Melchuish. Suggesting private companies charge 13% more for electricity than their state-owned enterprise counterparts. As evidence, prices will arise under partial private ownership. Duh! Well, and get dig this. And they're not actually putting out the truth about this partial own thing. Anyway, we had Megan Manuka on the show. She went to one of these Māori hui that they had, you know, an alleged meeting of consultation. And you know what she found inside that booklet? Is that what these partial privatizations actually are is a partial privatization that can be transferred in between the people who have the shares and then fully privatized anyway. Okay? It's like you have certain ministers in Parliament, at least this is my understanding of how she told it to me. You have a couple of ministers in the Parliament, okay? Now, they have a percentage of shares in the companies, okay? And they say, well, one minister can only have a maximum amount of shares, but it doesn't mean he can't transfer it to another minister and then them sell them off, okay? So they just play musical chairs and remove the chairs one at a time until people can't see what the heck is going on, and then boom, baby, you've got it sorted. I think that that's a very interesting thing, don't you? That it's like Penny Bright says, if you are talking about partial privatization, it's like talking about partial pregnancy.
No such thing.
Energy and Resources Minister Phil Heatley challenged Ms. Melchuish's figures, saying she had not included all underlying factors such as the geographical distribution of power companies' customers, differing line charges, and seasonal variations. Okay. Well, they didn't include all the time fine trimmings or whatever. Okay. Like, for instance, if I stabbed you with a knitting needle or something of that nature and then caved your head in with a sledgehammer, let's say I put the knitting needle through your hand or something like that. Didn't do a heck of a lot of damage, right? It's kind of an irrelevant thing because I've caved in your entire head with a sledgehammer. What he's saying is, you ignored that knitting needle. You're trying to manipulate people by saying there was a sledgehammer that killed him. You scumbag. These people are scum. There's nothing but scum coming raging through the Parliament. I mean, I was wondering what kind of filthy, disgusting... I'm not allowed to breach the FCC regulations. It's really frustrating. What kind of people do this to their own people? People who don't care about their own people. That's who. People who will be very smiley and happy when you first meet them, but ultimately have no depth to their character and no long-lasting personal relationships. In other words, psychopaths who can lie convincingly, not only to you, but to themselves. You listen to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And I think, actually, we might have an impromptu guest coming on in the next segment. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. I think with Ryan Dawson. We'll see you in a minute.
Uh-oh. Feed Wayne rappers, but I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles. But I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I am not yet credible, so until I can say I'm credible, I'll say that I'm incredible, respectable, and professional. Do you read me? Am I legible? It's time to get down to the question of eventually will the corruption in the government lead to the collapse of us? Lead to the collapse of us. Lead to the collapse of us.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the Vinny Eastwood Show.com. And on the 9/11 topic, there's lots of different people who have lots of information and all that kind of stuff. We won't have Ryan Dawson on today. He's actually going to be on Friday's show, okay, or Saturday if you happen to be in New Zealand. And he's made a big film, and I promised I'd give him a plug for it, War by Deception. War by Deception. It's 3 hours, apparently very intense. I've only seen the first hour of it, and I'm already pretty impressed, to tell you the truth. The amount of information in just the first hour alone is pretty mind-blowing. Even me, having looked at 9/11 and other conspiracies for I don't know, best part of 4 years or whatever, still teaching me stuff I don't know. That's good research, man. When people tell you stuff you don't know, it's either a lie or it's good research. And speaking of which, is that there's a lot of infighting in the truth movement. It doesn't matter who you talk to or whatever. A lot of people have got theories. A lot of people have got facts. A lot of people have got evidence or claim that they have it. And then basically they tell everybody else that you're a shill or a Zionist, a New World Order agent, blah, 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 if you disagree or anything like that. And basically it works down like this. If you're rude, okay, if you use ad hominem arguments, if you say that I'm not going to listen to you because you're a moron, etc., you're automatically wrong in my book because that's not intellectual honesty. That's abuse. You know what I'm saying? So the list of people that I've had on the show, and you can peruse the archives and Google their names and my name as well. So if you Google their name plus Vinny Eastwood, you'll come up with a result that should have the archive for you. So there's Galen, Judy Wood, Jim Fetzer, Richard Gage, Dmitry Khalazov, Jason Burmis, Jonathan Elinoff, Ryan Dawson, who's going to be coming on Friday as well. We had him on for about 15 minutes last week. And Gordon Duff, Evelyn Gilbert, and Phil Rose. Phil Rose is the guy who actually got Richard Gage to come here to New Zealand. So a very diverse group of guests there. And it's because I want to listen to everybody's interpretation, everybody's story, and so I can make up my own mind, okay? Intellectual dishonesty is a bad move. Mm-hmm. Words of wisdom. It is the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. Aristotle. Okay? Learn a little thing from the ancients, bro. They know what they're on about. Okay. I said that Ryan Dawson would be coming on. He's not, because he had to go catch a train. Like I said, coming on Saturday. All right, now. Where was I on to this scumbaggery asset sales bill, blah, 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 blah. All right. Here we say. I was talking about Miss Melhuish, okay, who did the analysis of whatever. Last night she stood by her figures, which were compiled from official data, and she offered to take Mr. Heatley through them. Finance Minister Bill English, however, dismissed concerns about prices as, quote, nonsense. More New Zealanders than ever were switching suppliers to find the lowest price, he says. Then what if all of them increase their prices? Doesn't matter who you switch to for the lowest price of them, it's still a more expensive price, you scumbag! Does Mr. Shearer seriously believe that hundreds of thousands of New Zealanders are systematically paying more for electricity than they could? Yes, Mr. Bill English. Namely, because we have free energy devices, which we could be generating all our electricity for $0. okay, as opposed to incredibly expensive crap. We could be running everything on water, for goodness sake. Look at this fracker, you know?
Oh, you think people are so stupid that they try to actually pay more for their power?
But you cynical frack. Okay, shut the frack up, Mr. English. I've seen your signature on the SEC website signing off New Zealand's budget well into the future. I have seen the budget for 2013. It's not even 2013, and yet the budget's already there. And I saw this years ago. You know what the budget for 2013 is? Versus 2008, where we were at the height of our economy before 45% of the world's wealth was destroyed because of derivatives trading, which were primarily set up by John Key. Huh? Do you know, about one-tenth of the annual income and budget spending is predicted for 2013. Okay? Which is about double what was predicted for this year. And which is about double what was predicted for last year. Okay, it goes down like this. And then from 2013 all the way along, the budget remains the same. Exactly the same. Okay, they project their budgets decades in advance. The SEC tells people and their governments what they can and can't spend. Decades in advance. And you think that the world doesn't have a planned agenda? You think there's such a thing as a quarterly statement that means frack all? Come on. These people know what they're doing. And there's cynical fracks who don't give a frack about you or anything else but themselves because they're sociopathic scum. I'm so angry today. Sorry. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. There might be some people who get offended by rage and what have you. And I apologize. You're supposed to be tuning into a very nice and happy and way up there intellectual show, if at best. Mr. Shearer's theory about prices, quote, relies on Labor's belief that most New Zealanders are stupidly paying 13% more for their power than they could if they just chose to pay less. Yeah, right. Now, if a salesman comes to your door and he says, I can save you 50% on your power, and you say no, does that mean that you are a part of... I mean, look, it happens all the time. People don't like being sold stuff. People don't like changing power companies. Of course they're paying more than they should all the time. Of course. Everybody in the entire world, doesn't matter what product you're talking about, doesn't matter whether you're getting it from Walmart or Warehouse or McDonald's or KFC, people are always paying more than they should. It's the nature of the game that's being played on all of us. If you don't like change, and nobody does, well, a lot of us don't anyway. Especially if you get a little bit older and you're starting to become comfortable with having a very stable life and not having a terribly large amount of change to look forward to or anything like that. You think that it's the best thing since sliced bread and you don't have to change a dang, that's D-A-N-G, dang thing. So many people like that. And I'd say it's probably about 13% of people who are so comfortable with being slaves that they'll never change anything. About 13%? Does that sound about right to you? Certainly sounds almost spot on to me. And I think that's a bit perhaps even a smaller percentage than maybe I would have put on it. I don't know. I haven't done the research. Okay. A bright idea or dark days ahead for debt reduction. This is the government's view. Profits from the sell-off will enable New Zealand to make better use of capital locked in state-owned companies, while retaining ownership through majority shareholding. And as I told you, that majority shareholding is a lie. And of course, the capital will disappear as well because they're getting us $400 million in debt a week plus. The share floats will mean the government will not need to borrow extra money to pay for assets like new schools and hospitals. See, they won't have to borrow money, except $400 million a week, of course. In a country of 4 million people, they're borrowing $100 million a week. You know, what's that? That's $100 a week per person, or $1,000 a week per person? Huh? What's it worth? $400. It is $100 a week per person, per man, woman, and child. The government is lock, stock, and barrel borrowing $100 a week per head. That's obscene. I mean, anybody out there, are you getting an extra $100 a week in debt? That's $5,200 a year per person, per baby, per infant, per primary school student. Do you think a primary school student's going to pay $5,200 a year just to pay off that debt? No. We're going to be in permanent debt forever. These people are lying. They are lying scum. With respect to loss of some of its dividends, the government says that the minority shareholders will be making an upfront cash payment of $5 to $7 billion in exchange for uncertain future cash flows. As opposed to, why don't we just have a certain cash flow by keeping the assets? And the dissenting voices, and I love it how they've framed it as the government view versus the dissenting voices. Oh, they're dissenting. The rabble, the slaves are revolting. Come on. The sell-off makes no financial sense. Sales are a short-term thinking which will result in permanent loss of nearly half of dividend streams. Opponents say sales of shares to foreigners and the loss of dividends overseas will lead to further deterioration of the balance of payments. Labour points to Treasury estimates showing the reduction in interest costs from levels of government debt under the plan does not completely offset the expected loss of dividends. The Crown could be as much as $90 million a year worse off. Times that by 100. Times it by 1,000. Frack! Times it by 1,000,000,000,000,000. And that's how much debt the World Bank and New World Order want us in. And we'll get there as long as we let this kind of crap happen. We'll be right back. Broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, on AMFM affiliates across America, the UK, and also we have a couple of affiliates in New Zealand. In fact, we've taken off Rush FM in Hamilton off of the American Freedom Radio affiliates list because they in fact got shut down by the government. I wish I could say I was responsible for the government just going, "Oi, this is an evil radio station, let's shut it down." I wish I could say that, but no. But anyway, they're back up now, and they are playing the Vinnie Eastwood show. So hopefully we'll be able to, get them added back onto that affiliate list in their rightful place. Now, continuing on with the state asset stuff, and once I've finished this, I want to start taking callers, preferably anybody who's from New Zealand might want to call in, but caller lines are now open, so if you want to basically just hold on for the entire segment or something like that, I'd probably prefer next segment calling in. Yeah. Investment and savings. The government view increases the range of investment options, especially safe ones for NZ Superannuation Fund and ACC. Domestic institutional investors such as KiwiSaver Funds, iwi, and small, quote-unquote, mum-and-dad investors. Dissenting voices say asset sales are unfair to low-income New Zealanders and only the well-off will be able to afford shares and thus receive dividends. Now, Auckland Power Trust. Everybody who pays for power in Auckland City gets mailed out a dividend check every year. of like over $100 because the people own it. And that means everybody gets a dividend. What they're saying is just, you know, frack everybody else. Frack your dividends. If you're a poor person, you're fracked. We're going to sell it. You know, rich people will be richer. Wouldn't that be nice? I would love to be a rich person getting richer, but unfortunately, I'm a poor person getting poorer. And if I was a rich person getting richer, I'd wonder why the heck the poor people are getting poorer and try and use some of my riches to frickin' stop it so that all those poor people don't keep trying to steal things from everybody else because they've got no other options because rich fracks like me took those options away from them. That's what I'd do. Foreign ownership, the government view, strict ownership limits enshrined in legislation mean no one investor will be able to own more than 10% of a company. This is what I was telling you about. Governments also say it is committed to keeping strong, quote-unquote, Kiwi ownership in these companies. The dissenting voices say partial sales will inevitably result in foreign ownership of crucial infrastructure. Partial privatisation is a first step on the road to full privatisation. You know what happened last time that we had shares sold in New Zealand state-owned companies? These foreign companies came in and they hired caravans, okay, and they parked them in supermarkets all over the country, saying, "Come and sell your state-owned asset shares here. We'll give you a good price for them." And they sure enough did. And Kiwis, being broke as frack because of the government and everything like that, decided, sure. Let's make sure that we get a good return on our investment by selling our meager little bits of shares to world government affiliated scumbaggery corporations. And sure enough, guess who wound up with all the ownership? That's right, the scumbaggery corporations. 10% ownership only. My goodness. How stupid are people? They don't know any of the history. They don't remember anything. It's like, people think they have goldfish memory or whatever. Goldfish remember. All right? Trust me. Goldfish remember things better than people do, as far as I'm concerned. A mate of mine, he's telling me this one time he went to go clean a pond, you know, a little pond with a few goldfish in it at somebody's place, just doing it. And he brought out his net. He caught the fish, and it was pretty easy. They weren't running away or anything like that. The next time, a few years later, he came round, and this was years later, the second he pulled out that net, every single goldfish just darted under rocks and hiding from him, and they were virtually impossible to catch. Okay? Even goldfish have better memories than the New Zealand voting public. Oh, my God. Mandate for sale. The only mandate John Key ever had was with John Banks. During a teapot tape debacle. The government says its intentions were well signalled before and during last year's election campaign. And also, not to mention, when me and Penny Bright went down to the Auckland Library, and we looked through the 3 to 6 months of election coverage, it was either Winston Peters is a lying scumbag with zero evidence to support it, Helen Clark and the Labor Party need to be kicked out as soon as possible and refreshed. And John Key is the savior who's going to make this country work. Okay, that was the only three types of political articles basically that you could ever see. There was virtually no other kind of debate of any kind. Okay, now when you see it day after 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 day, like we did, it suddenly becomes very, very clear that the media is incredibly and utterly, totally freaking controlled. Which is pretty straightforward. We all know this to be a self-evident truth. But dig this. The media is so powerful that they can tell people that National is going to win over and over again, despite what polls that have been conducted independently by companies that actually do real polling, as opposed to Colmar Brunton and other corrupt New World Order-affiliated polling companies, to tell everybody. National's going to win, there's no point voting for anybody else, and bingo, lowest voter turnout since 1886. 1 million people voted, okay? And half of that 1 million people, out of like, what, a possible 2 million plus voters or anything like that, voted for John Key, and he calls that a motherfracking mandate. You cynical frack. Polls before the last election showed a clear majority of New Zealanders strongly opposed state asset sales. Government thus has no mandate for sales. Yep. Oversight. The government view. The companies will be subject to the stock exchange's continuous disclosure regime. Oh. Continuous disclosure? Is that what companies have nowadays, right? The Electricity and Gas Complaints Commissioner will provide an avenue for complaints. Cabinet ministers will still be subject to the Official Information Act and Ombudsman Act. And the dissenting voices say that partially privatised companies will no longer be subject to the Ombudsman Act. You know why? Because they ain't government owned. That's what the Ombudsman's there for. He's there to make sure that anything involving money and the government is taken care of, making sure there's no corruption or whatever. But you try complaining to the Ombudsman about John Key trying to flush out commercially sensitive information a year or two before getting elected to relate to his $50,000 plus of Transrail shares that he bought to find out exactly which way the government was looking at selling Transrail so that he could profit even more from his shares. We told the Ombudsman about that. Penny Bright did it, and I filmed her, and this is the first time we met and everything like that. What does the police commissioner do? Says, oh, well, nothing. It's not criminal if the Prime Minister does it, okay? It's kind of like Nixon.
If the president does it, it's not illegal.
Oh, yeah. Profit motive, the government view. Will sharpen commercial discipline in companies subject to partial share floats. And I love it when you have a look at this thing. Does anyone know what a share float actually is? I mean, if I asked you, could you define a share float? Okay. What is it? Something that you have in a Christmas parade, you know? I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know exactly the inner workings and everything like that. So they use all this financial and intellectual terminology to make you think that they're smarter than you, that make them think that they must be right because they know words that I don't. No, they're just a bunch of stupid scum, just like the rest of you. Right? And I don't mean that in a bad way. The dissenting voices will end expectations that state companies behave in a socially responsible fashion, as if they've been acting in a socially responsible fashion anyway, with the amount of people who get wrongly convicted for cannabis possession in this country. And profit will be the driving force. Private ownership could lead to underinvestment in crucial infrastructure as new owners seek to maximise profits, as occurred with New Zealand Rail, who I was just talking about, and John Key was involved in that too. Isn't that interesting? An Ernst and Young report commissioned by Treasury suggested the state power companies were already performing better than most of their private sector counterparts in other countries. In fact, according to Penny Bright and her mountains of research, contracting out services... No. This is POGO, the Project on Government Ownership. Okay, they did a huge study across the United States having a look at things that were done inside by in-house government agencies, you know, like dog catchers and government-owned water companies, etc., and compared them to the people who are privatizing that and instead getting companies to do it. It is unequivocal, the result of the survey. Privatization is at least double the cost. At least. And these people want to privatize it. So it's a good idea. They're idiots. They're either idiots or they're lying scumfracks who you shouldn't be listening to. Mm-hmm. Talk about socially responsible companies, right? These people, I don't think they have any idea what a socially responsible company is. All right. That's what I think anyway. Higher power prices, the government view. Companies subject to partial share floats are already expected to act in a commercial fashion. Electricity prices are not considered by are not constrained by state companies' social responsibility provisions, but by electricity market regulations. You're selling off the electricity market, and then you're talking about how great it's going to be regulated. I mean, come on, you already had control of it. It doesn't need any more regulation.
You already had a monopoly and a cartel. Dissenting voices. Opponents say higher electricity prices are still inevitable as companies seek to maximise profits for private shareholders. This is what the TPPA is about. And if any of those TPPA-affiliated companies or countries or anything of that nature wind up actually buying any parts of our assets and what have you, guess what's going to happen? They'll increase the prices, and then later on, if the government says, hey, you know what, maybe partial privatisation wasn't a good idea, we're going to take our shares back, they'll say, look, you're cutting into our profit margins, we're going to take you to the World Bank and the IMF and the World Court and blah, 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 and we're going to have those, all of those assets taken off you and frack your entire country up. Once it's happening, once it's there, it is already too late, okay? Apart from Iceland, who's the greatest example that you'd ever conceive of, they just said, hey, you know what? All these people are lying to us. All these big bankers from the UK that are driving around in their giant Chelsea tractors and Land Rovers and everything all over the place, I don't understand what they're talking about when they try to sell us derivatives. I ain't paying that crap back. I ain't giving any of my state assets away. And guess what happened the very next year? Complete reversal of the economy, and everything is all G-Unit there now. Okay? It's that simple. Just say no to these fracks, and you will be sweet. It's just that easy. Stop buying into the lies, and you'll stop getting shafted. Okay? Up to 49% of the Crown's shareholding in state-owned electricity generators, Mighty River Power, Genesis Power, Meridian Energy, and up to 49% of state coal company Solid Energy. The government is also planning to reduce its shareholding in Air New Zealand, our national carrier. It's not infected. The airline is already in mixed public-private ownership. You see what they do? They come at you and they say mixed public-private ownership. Then they say, oh, the government's going to reduce its shares. And see, one step, two step, three step. And guess what's going to happen to Air New Zealand? It's going to be owned by the Australians. Because then it'll be private sooner or later. The first public share offer for a minority stake in Mighty River Power is expecting in the third quarter of this year, quote-unquote, markets permitting. Okay, let's have a look at the valuations of these companies. Meridian Energy, value between $6.3 and $6.7 billion. And in 2011, the dividend to the government was almost $700 million, $694. Okay? So let me get this straight. You've got something that returns 10% of its entire overall value to the economy in just 1 year. 1 year! Can you imagine a $1 billion company returning $100 million worth of profit, and they're providing something like a finite resource like electricity, who they have on sellers and all that kind of stuff, and they're still making that kind of money, and you want to sell off that asset that's making a shockingly large amount of coin? You've got to be kidding me. It is the biggest state-owned generator, 800 staff. And then there's Genesis Energy, 960 staff, and it's a $1.6 billion company, and its dividends to the government in 2011 were zero. Zero. And its biggest retailer, it's got 670,000 customers. Isn't that interesting? That a company that's like, what, a fifth of the size with more staff and more customers returns nothing. Isn't that strange to you? It sounds very odd to me. It sounds like all these companies are working as a cartel together. When one loses, the other one ends. It's kind of like, basically, they can't lose because they're all in it together anyway. Mighty River Power, value $3.4 to $3.9 billion. 2011, dividend to the government, $95 million. Okay? $100 million for $3.9 billion worth of assets and what have you. Staff, 784, generates close to 13% of New Zealand's total power, just off a few rivers. Mm-hmm. Solid Energy, last one here, value $1.7 to $3.3 billion. That's a huge margin of error. $1.7 to $3.3 billion. It's like, dude. Dividend to the government, $20 million. Staff, 1,430. and it produced 4 million tons of coal in 2010. These are real valuable assets, don't you think? Maybe I think we, instead of selling them off to foreigners, we should just split up the cartel and get them to compete against each other. Maybe. Here we go. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. 218-339-80.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face. All when my back is turned.
They sell all my state assets to whoever comes around. You know, I'm sick to death of lying, sociopathic, criminal scum, and all of the people that support them and think that, oh, I can't be bothered doing anything. I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to chill out at home. I'm not going to do it, you know. I'm going to leave it up to somebody else. And that's the whole reason why government was put up in the first place. Can someone else do it? Stop being lazy, for goodness sake. Caller lines are now open for those of you who actually feel like contributing today. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Anybody else out there feeling like your assets, or your ass, basically, where you're living? Your ass is getting sold off these days, isn't it? It's classic. And it happens over and over and over again. That's what I find. One really funny. 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. Only got two more segments left in the show, so please call in and call in right about now. And this week, coming up tomorrow, we've got a guy named William Ramsey, who's an occult researcher. I'll also be doing a interview after the show with a vaccine researcher. This will all be uploaded for subscribers to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Also, this evening, for those of you who are in Auckland and you want to come and see some people burned to death, I'm not talking about literally, of course, 219 Don McKinnon Drive, Mama Loco, it's the name of the restaurant in Albany. The New Zealand Chili Eating Champs is on, and one of the listeners to the show is the host of it, Mr. Clint Meyer from Fire Dragon Chilies. In fact, I think I have one of his business cards here. I'll show people that. Yeah, Fire Dragon Chilies, man. He gave me some of his sauce, bro. Oh, my God, that Shiite Muslim burns. It burns badly. It's pretty rough stuff. And so I'm going to be filming that tonight. I don't think I'll participate because I'm not insane. Or at least I haven't been driven insane just as yet. So there's 219 Don McKinnon Drive in Albany, Mama Loco. And you can also have a look at the Chili Eating Champs link on my Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, which is Gorilla Mr. News. Mr. News Gorilla Media, one word. I think that's the one. Cool. So chili eating tonight and also interviewing somebody about vaccines. And tomorrow before the show, I'll be talking to James Burns for an hour about the Ron Paul turnaround and things of that nature. Also, the day after that, I'm going to be doing two shows before this show goes live. So I'll be up at 5 a.m. To talk to Paul Vickers from Critical Mass Radio. com. And after that, there will be Dan Grundy, who has a radio show in the Uber Kingdom as well, interviewing me for a couple of hours before doing my show. So I'll be up extremely early in the morning that day. And on Saturday, as I said, for those of you in New Zealand, and Friday for those of you in the States in the Northern Hemisphere, Ryan Dawson will be coming on for a good 2 hours as well. So this is a good week, a big week, and there's going to be lots of extra content for you. Also, next week, we're going to be having Matt Presti, William Ramsey, Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane, and a guy named Mr. Guido about smart meters, and also the lovely Catherine Albrecht. And I'll also be spotting on the Truth of Girls with Sonia there. And then on through July, I will be taking 2 weeks off. The first 2 weeks of July, I'll be having off, and I will be having people fill in for me for those 2 weeks, so you can still keep tuning into the show every day and get some new shows, content, etc. It'll be nice and fun. So Sherry Kane, Lynn Horowitz are going to host one. Karen Testardo from United We Strike are going to host one. Freighter and Mater X are going to host one. Carrie Lee and my producer Mitch Santel, and also Evelyn Gilbert. And I haven't filled up the entire schedule yet. I've still got another four hosts I need to track down in order to basically save my bacon. In fact, I think I might ask Wendy Adams as well if she might come on and host an episode. She's a lovely lady. Oh, mate. So many friends in the truth movement, and so much infighting, and oh my god! And that's actually one of the topics that I wanted to talk about and actually go into a little bit more heavily in the final segments here. Considering I don't have any calls, 218-339-8525. Infighting in the truth movement. Oh my goodness! Here's why I don't do the infighting. Number one, and it's basically the only reason why. Yeah, ask yourself a simple question about these other people, okay? Doesn't matter what they're talking about, doesn't matter what New World Order agenda they appear to be fulfilling or whatever. Ask yourself this question. Is this particular person attempting to exterminate me? Are they likely to be able to exterminate me in a New World Order black uniform, bashing my head in with batons type sense of the word? Is that going to happen? No, they're not. Judy Wood's not going to kill me. Jim Fitz is not going to kill me. Richard Gage isn't going to kill me. So regardless of whatever different ideas people have about 9/11, etc., those people who have those different ideas ain't going to kill you. Okay? Only the New World Order thugs and scumbags will. So why do you devote such enormous amounts of time messing around with that? Come on, we all have different ideas. The whole idea of having an honest intellectual debate is so that you don't get abused, ad hominem attacks, and what have you while you're putting out your ideas. It doesn't matter what your ideas are about 9/11 or pharmaceutical drugs or anything like that. As far as I'm concerned, information's information and discussion's discussion. And that's where it starts and that's where it finishes. Stop thinking that it means more than it is. Okay? You just got to be honest with yourself and honestly want to listen to other people. Okay? It's at least that's my perspective on it. Because when you hear something that proves you wrong, an honest man will either cease to be honest or he will cease to be wrong. That's the motive of it. So if we have people like that in the truth movement, I'm no longer keen on supporting them. Okay, I allow anybody on this show if they want to, but if people start their relationship with me by abusing me, calling me a New World Order paid agent or something like that, I'm not going to invite you on the show. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory, right? It's like, you're a douchebag and you're insulting me. Why would I let you go? You know? It's just like, I want this show to be a nice, cool, and friendly and happy place. Why would I have on people who abuse me, who abuse other truthers and things of that nature? I mean, I've been offering a heck of a lot of abuse to John Key and David Shearer and the other New Zealand politicians and what have you. Why? Because they are likely to exterminate me. They are likely to pass legislation that will give police more guns and take the people's guns away and things like that. They are doing it. They are my enemies. They deserve my negative attention. And more to the point, if you're given something negative attention and only negative attention and you're not having any positivity and you ain't got any friends and you're just pushing everybody away and you're getting yourself into your little tunnel vision sort of thing and you block out everything, including your fracking manners, you know? And when people accuse me of things that's not true, that's probably the most offensive thing you could ever do to me. Seriously, it gets me so worked up when people call me a New World agent, a New World Order agent, okay? I've been on the freaking street for 4 years, okay? 4 years, living in abject poverty, and you have the nerve, without even knowing who the hell I am, or not even doing such a single Google search, to call me a New World Order agent, you scumfrack? You know, that really irritates me. It belies the point. I'm not some new agey guy who's got it all together, who knows how to control his temper and his rage and is like the guru that everybody should follow. I'm a very flawed individual. I am very emotional and well, basically, a lot of times I'm actually kind of lazy. All right? I can't be bothered doing whole sorts of stuff. People sending me articles, sending me videos, sending me this, that, and the other. I can't be bothered. All right? It's just like I'm not blocking it all out or ignoring it or anything like that. I don't have time. I don't want to spend time doing that. And if I do have the presence of mind to spend time with somebody or anything like that, I prefer it to be on a positive basis rather than being accused of things that aren't fracking true, patently not true. Okay? I would like to see somebody produce any form of evidence of any kind that I'm a shill or an agent or anything like that. Seriously, if you can prove it, frickin' do it. Okay? If unwittingly I'm a New World Order agent, I would prefer people to expose me. Because who knows? I could have, you know, had my mind wiped by MK Ultra or something like that, and my entire life of my entire life of like 27 odd years or something like that might just be some implanted microchip or something like you'd have to get real crazy with your conspiracy theories in order to try and even prove in any way, shape, or form. And in fact, there's no proof of that. Even if it did exist, you'd be too crazy. It's just for goodness sake. For goodness sake, stop accusing people of stuff that you don't have any evidence for. That's all I ask. Susan in Illinois, welcome to the program.
Hey, Vinny.
Susan, are you there? Yeah, I can
hear you. This is Susan.
Loving you.
From Chicago.
I've got some real bad problems with my Skype now, so everybody seems to be breaking up for me, but apparently I'm not breaking up for you, so I'll be able to hear what you're saying, and I'll have to interpret the Cybertronian, but anyway.
Oh, I'm not on Skype. I'm just on a regular phone.
Oh, no, but I am.
Oh. I'm going to have to learn Skype.
Skype's good, man. And also, if you do learn Skype, you'll be able to participate in the after-the-show discussions that we have with the listeners. That's a lot of fun.
I know. I tried yesterday. I didn't realize I had written, got on a regular computer. I had been using my iPad. And my iPad, I could not, I didn't know why I couldn't get in chat. There are certain limitations to the iPad. But anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
So I wasn't the only one I discovered in your chat room, somebody told me. So I just wanted to say that I think you have a wonderful show. I called you once before. I think you're very brilliant. You're a brilliant, brilliant guy. And, you know, I just wish... I have a son your age, and I just don't think he has a clue. Do you know what I'm saying? And not against him, but he doesn't, I don't know. You just have so much intelligence. You're so with it. And with politics, and not everyone's interested in politics. I mean, I wasn't interested until it really became, you know, it really affected my life, and then I started getting interested. So I was a lot older than you before I became interested in politics. I think because my parents were so interested, I just hated it. So... You know, but things were not like they are now. So good for you. But anyway, anyway, I just wanted to say that. And you were talking also about infighting.
Oh, yeah.
With the truthers. And I didn't know anything about that until I heard maybe less than a week ago. Oh, my God. I was listening to some show that I don't listen to much. But there was someone there. I mean, it was like, you know, it was just awful. And not that everyone was wrong. I think they might be right. But I thought, this is just awful. This is just terrible. This is just terrible that the most wonderful group in the world is just backbiting everyone else. And I was really shocked, and I guess that's because I like to believe that the good people are good. But, you know, I don't know. You know, there were things about Alex Jones. Yes.
Yeah, well, Susan, in the truth movement, it's not entirely different to the rest of society. I mean, we have our own kind of social thing right here. And in any society, there's criminals, liars, people who are damaged goods, who are emotional and things like that. There are people like that in the truth movement. I mean, into the truth movement and think, man, I'm intellectually capable of processing these things, and I'm now wanting to become a good person, and I'm trying to save my country. You would assume that everybody who comes into the truth movement comes into on that thread. No. Sorry, not everybody's as evolved as you, Susan. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. It's the final segment, ladies and gentlemen, on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The number to call in is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. And we had a new caller call in while I was talking to Susan. They hung up. If you could call back, I'd really love to talk to you. I love getting calls from new listeners and as well as regular ones as well. And also, if you want to participate in the after the show listener chat, you can send me a message through the chat room at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Or you can email me, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com/contact.html. That's thevinnieeastwoodshow.com/contact.html. Flick me an email with your Skype name there, and I'll add you and bring you into the chat after the show. Okay, and other radio show hosts listen to me and things like that, or some of the guests and researchers and things like that we've had on the show also just continue to listen just normally and everywhere. You're welcome to come on the after the show chats as well, man. I mean, it's like everybody's had the exact same response from those after the show chats. We've only done a couple of them so far, but everybody has the exact same response, exactly the same. Oh, my God, it feels great. It feels great to be around other people who think like I do, who talk like I do, who I can actually relate to, who won't call me a crazy conspiracy theorist for telling the truth. And that's the whole point of the Vinnie Eastwood social network, being around people who inspire you, reinforce you, and help you, and care about you. Find those people. I don't care what you have to sacrifice in order to find those people. Just do it, okay? They're very, very important for your life. If you don't have a support network, basically, emotional, monetary, physical support, it's whatever support you kind of need, get it, man. And that's another thing. We're all damaged goods in the truth movement, okay? It's kind of like hoarders. I was talking with a border over the break about this. He's got a mate who lives down the road. He's a bit of a hoarder, and he came around to pick him up in his car, and like there's empty food bags and stuff like that up to his knees, and the passenger seat is just like doesn't like clutter, dude. Doesn't like clutter. And what we're thinking about here is it's like a lot of truthers are like that. Okay, they got a lot of baggage, man, and they're unable to clear it out. Now, for one reason or another, they choose not to. They either are too lazy or incompetent or distracted or something of that nature. And it is their fault, okay? If you are a rude and basically unpleasant individual, it is your fault, okay? I didn't make you that way, so stop being unpleasant towards me. That's all I ask, okay? I think that we have a very, very important reason to just be cool, all right? Don't go out of control. Don't be in people's faces all the time and everything like that, unless they are the New World Order scumbags who actually deserve it. Okay, other truthers don't deserve your aggression. Okay, least of all me, I'm not aggressive to any other truther at all. Okay, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, you're all my potential friends. I don't want to, you know, alienate you or mess around with you. I don't want to lie to you. I don't want to cheat. I don't want to make you feel bad about yourself. If you're a new radio show host and you're looking at me and you're going, man, but he's got a great show or whatever, give me a ring, mate, okay? If you're only just starting, I'll come on your show and you can ask me whatever questions you like. I'll teach you. I'll give you a very valuable lesson in how to be a radio show host from my own experience. This is the only experience I got, but my goodness, I've had a lot more experience than 90% of the radio show hosts are currently on air in a lot of places, right? And I'm doing it all by myself to the largest degree, organizing all the guests myself for the most part, doing all the research myself, which basically doesn't involve a whole lot because I don't really do any research. I just talk to the researchers. I kind of jumped the gun on that one. And basically, it's no holds barred, okay? There is no bar to the show. If you're an activist, or even if you're just a listener and you want to come on for 2 hours or something like that, all you need to do is ask, okay? If you are polite and friendly and cool and whatever, sure, I'll have you on for a couple of hours. Why not? I do 10 hours a week of this. You think I'm going to be stingy with it? I've got to get this radio show airtime filled up with something. It may as well be a very nice listener to the show. I mean, that's why we had the Greek on Friday last week. He's been a listener to the show for quite a long time and calls in and always, you know, introduces some very, very interesting topics to discuss and what have you. So we brought him on for 2 hours. You know, he didn't actually ask to. I just thought, you know, it's the next logical step and next logical conclusion. May as well bring him on. This is a communal radio show, all right? Unlike any other, there is no other radio show like this, okay? It doesn't matter if you're looking at any of the ones on Blog Talk Radio or any other form of radio network. There is nothing like this show. No 2 days are the same because usually have a different guest every day. Often people you've never heard of, and in some cases, the people who are the biggest names in talk radio, okay? Like, if you doubt that I'm, like, the man at getting really great guests and making them feel happy and all of that kind of stuff, if you doubt me in any way, shape, or form, you go to my website and you click on the featured interviews tab up the top, okay? And you will see that I'm not joking, that I'm not messing around, that I am taking this very, very seriously. I mean, ironically enough, I do take it very much more seriously than most, okay? Who are probably two of the biggest talk radio show hosts in the world today? George Norrie, or I'm talking about in the truth movement, not in the world, George Norrie and Henrik Palmgren, had them both on the show. Lindsay Williams, Jordan Maxwell, Webster Tarpley, G. Edward Griffin, the late, great Bob Chapman, Steve Quayle, Janet and Stuart Swerdlow, Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane, Rick Simpson, Rima Labo, Ian Wishart, Anthony J. Hilder, Jason Burmis, Paul Connett, Stan Deo, Michael Shaw, the Reverend Ted Pike, Lorraine Murray, Cindy Sheehan, Michael Murphy, Kerry Cassidy. The list goes on and on and on. I'm not fracking around anymore, man. I am not. Can't be bothered with anybody else who's trying to mess around, bro. Seriously. Oh, and it looks like my guest who was supposed to have arrived 2 hours ago has now arrived. Oh, no. That's really lame. I'm going to have to reschedule him. Oh, my God. See, this is another thing. You can't control everything. Just react to the things that are in front of you. If a guest doesn't turn up, or they turn up 2 hours too late, and they say to you, I'm ready when you are, when it's like 3 minutes to the closing of the show, don't get angry with them or anything like that. It's just like, man, it's a simple reschedule. All right? Just remember, hate is like baggage, okay? The more you carry around with you, the more it weighs you down. Stop hating on people. Stop getting angry about stuff. There's no point, okay? Unless you're actually planning to do something about it, that rage is simply going to eat you up, okay? Don't worry. I mean, maybe I can get on a bit of a rant now and then with the Uber. But I've got justifiable reasons, or at least I think, on occasions to be incredibly angry at all the scumbaggery that's ensuing. Don't you? Don't you think being exterminated is a justifiable reason to be kind of upset? You know, really, that's my perspective. I could be wrong. Maybe just you know, sitting around being a slave and you know, making sure that you have another beautiful coffee or bacon and eggs for breakfast or something of that nation. You know, it doesn't make sense at all. Okay, to walk around unhappy all the time. So you've got to seek out ways to make yourself happy. Seek them out, man. Make sure that you do. Otherwise, you'll be in deep, deep trouble. Mostly with yourself, because you're so hateful of everybody else. You recognize that, hey, even if everybody else got rid of and anything like that, don't waste your time. Find people that make you happy. Listen to shows that leave you feeling elated and enlightened and better off. Okay? Take care of yourself. Nobody else is going to take care of you. And if you can't take care of yourself, you won't be able to take care of anybody else either. Okay? Thanks very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Join us in the chat room at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and pop your Skype name in there. And we will connect you up very, very shortly, just after the show today, to have an after-the-show conversation. It's unrecorded, it's off-air, it's uncensored, and it's a lot of fun to hang around with other like-minded individuals. So I hope to see you there, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Enjoy the archives. The commercial-free archives are also available for people who subscribe for $5 a month. You can subscribe for $10 a month, $20 a month. You can give me a 10 grand or something like that. I don't care. You'll get the same amount of benefit out of it. It just basically, if you support me the way I support everybody, then donate, please, because it'll make sure that I'm still around for a long, long time to keep doing the right thing. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'll see you again sometime.